Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The Cahill campaign is providing plenty of material for our political analyst to ponder. Democrat Dan Payne and Republican Todd Domke both spoke about the independent and the other candidates with WBUR's Deborah Becker.
Let's start with the Cahill campaign. Can he still make an impact in this race, Todd?
Yes, he can still make an impact, like a meteor cratering. but if he continues on this trajectory, his impact crater won't be very large. He's now down to about 10% in the polls. Some traditional Democrats, some Tea Partiers, people with a high pain threshold. but the Boston Globe revealed that his supporters split about evenly now on who they'd favor as their second choice, Deval Patrick or Charlie Baker. So even if Cahill quits and endorses someone, he would have an impact, but not as much as we would have thought maybe weeks ago. So he could still change the dynamic of this race. He's got $2 million. But if he made a gaffe, if he raised a new issue in debate or a TV spot that created controversy, there are ways he could change the dynamic of the race. But so he's still a factor. He hasn't cratered yet.
Dan, what do you think he needs to do to make a splash? You had suggested coming out as a Tea Party candidate.
Yeah, I think we're past that time now. He'd have to refute things that he has said about Sarah Palin and the Tea Party people. He went to the rally on the Common a few months ago and kind of stayed around on the edge, didn't really want to be part of it. So I think he's not ready to become a Tea Party candidate, and they may not be ready to embrace him. Mm. He's doing the only thing that he can do now, which is to celebrate his underdogness. On his website, he's got scenes of Rocky, the boxer, not the squirrel, and he's trying to make his underdog status part of his campaign, make it part of his rationale. And in an ironic way, he has become the hope candidate in this race.
Hmm. Well, in retrospect, Dan was right months ago that if Cahill had become a Tea Party candidate back then, when he still had time to reinvent himself as a reformer, as a more believable independent, he might be a hot property now. We can't say with certainty, of course, but he wouldn't be as strong as he was probably at the beginning when he was about 30% in the polls, but it's hard to imagine he'd be as weak as he is now, down to single digits in some polls.
Yeah, Cahill is like the Red Sox right now. He can't win, but he can help dictate who will win. And so he's really playing out the string, but as Todd mentioned earlier, with $2 million, he's got some chips to play with in this game.
Let's talk about the other candidates. Let's talk about Deval Patrick and Charlie Baker. Obviously, this race is getting tighter and tighter, according to the polls. You think it'll stay that way, Todd, right up until Election Day?
Not necessarily. I felt that this is like the tortoise and the hare story for some time. Patrick is the hare, can run circles around Baker personality-wise, but Baker slowly but surely moves along like a tortoise, ready to take the lead about the same time that Scott Brown did a few weeks before the election. But Baker has an advantage. Brown did not. He's lucky that Doug Rubin is chief strategist for the Patrick campaign. At Sunday, after the Boston Globe poll came out showing the race as a tie, Rubin e-blasted supporters saying this was good for Patrick because it was a wake-up call for them.
So, Dan, do you think it'll stay tight right up until Election Day between Deval Patrick and Charlie Baker?
I believe it will. Baker's catching up to Deval right now because his recognition is growing. And as his recognition goes up, his vote goes up. Debates helped him get established as an alternative. His TV commercials, even though they're not very good, at least give him exposure. But Baker hasn't been able to close the sale for a long time now, and he just isn't a good candidate. He seems to be running for CEO rather than governor.
Hmm. You know, it seems that we still hear sort of hints about what happened here during the special election, the Senate special election in January, and there's still a lot of influence on this race. And I'm wondering if that may at all affect Martha Coakley, and if you think that that's going to affect the race for attorney general, where Republican opponent Jim McKenna has hired a former Scott Brown staffer as a top strategist. And, of course, Martha Coakley's bringing out her unusual Campbell soup can shoes as well to try to get some attention on the campaign trail. What do we take from this? I mean, is there a significant threat here to Martha Coakley's campaign, Todd?
I think she's vulnerable. I mean, it's strange, and it might not show up in the polls. But with the disillusionment out there, with the anger out there, I think a lot of people still see her as personifying the old politics, the establishment politics, liberal, out of touch sort of thing. And Jim McKenna, who's not going to be that well known, you know, we'll probably have enough money and get enough attention through news coverage for people to realize that he's a very credible alternative. So I think that could end up being close.
I'd agree. Coakley really got Democrats upset with her by the campaign that she ran or the non-campaign that she ran. And so some of them may just decide to blank the race, just not vote for either one of them. But I think looking at it as a campaign against an incumbent who hasn't really done anything to hurt herself since January, I'd expect that Martha Coakley would win, probably not as easily as she'd like, but she'll carry the vote.
I just want to switch gears a bit and ask you about the ballot questions. Question three would cut the state sales tax more than half, really, from 6.25% to 3%. Recent polls show that voters are just about split. Gubernatorial candidates say they're against it. Union and business groups are saying that they are against it as well. Do you think the voters will support this, Todd?
Well, I think many voters figure that if everyone in politics is against it, they should support it. It's like when Oscar Wilde said, I can resist everything except temptation. You know, but it's not just mischief, though, I think, with voters or voter anger. It's not just taxpayers trying to save money to survive recession. It's also partly voter cynicism. They're cynical because they remember their elected representatives ignoring the will of the people in an earlier referendum to cut taxes. So now they figure, why not send a message? Even if it passes, maybe they will cut it 5% instead of 3%. But there's a law in effect that legislators did not pass. The law of unintended consequences. Legislators thought they could thwart the will of the people and voters would forget and things would stay the same. But no, there's a consequence. We're seeing it in the polls and we'll see it in November.
Well, nobody of consequence is for this thing. And the gubernatorial candidates, all of them are opposed to it. And I think that's significant, which means it won't have a respectable voice. The money and the foot soldiers are on the no side. And the fundamental question, though, that this ballot measure raises is, are you willing to cut off your services to spite Beacon Hill? Because what will happen here is if this monumental tax cut of $2.5 billion passes, is that you'll see it in potholes, you'll see it in class size, you'll see it in police enforcement, firefighters. I mean, there will be devastating cuts in services if this thing passes, regardless of whether people are angry at Beacon Hill.
That's WBUR's Democratic analyst Dan Payne, alongside Republican Todd Dumpke, speaking with WBUR's Deborah Becker.